Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
Here we go. Headlines on Softy and Dick. The gang kinda is back together again, live from the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook. Headlines, of course, are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Never in one time ever heard your radio show.
By the way, you want to go see the Mariners and the Yankees tonight?
Sure.
$5 gets you in the door.
Are you serious? Really?
$5 gets you in the door tonight.
Wow.
Anthony told me there were 1,400 seats on the market for this game tonight with Game 2 of the Yankees and Mariners series at 6:40 this evening. Use code SOFTY at checkout for an even deeper discount. The tickets might be free, for crying out loud. Speaking of the Mariners, 28-26 after a 10-4 loss to the Yankees yesterday. It finally happened. Our boy Mr. Miller got thrashed by Aaron Judge and the Yankees yesterday. Tonight, nasty Nestor Cortez. And his 5.91 ERA, Dick, in the month of May against Logan Gilbert. And by the way, Julio Rodriguez, the player of the week in the American League, 4.71 with a 13.39 OPS in his last eight games, by the way.
The Heat become the first eight seeds since the 99 Knicks to advance to the finals, hammering the Celtics in Boston last night, 103-84. Jimmy Butler, 28. He was named series MVP, and Nick Nurse hired as the new head coach of the 76ers. He was fired by Toronto despite leading them to a championship, despite leading them to a Coach of the Year award.
99 Knicks. Was that the Spurs and the 50-game season after the lockout? Is that right?
Yes, 99? I think it was.
So this is the first time in an 82-game season ever that an 8 seed has made the NBA Finals.
I have to
finals.
Double-check, but I think you're right.
Yeah. NHL Stanley Cup Finals are set. Vegas, Florida, Game 1. Saturday, right here on 93.3 KJRFM. By the way, at 5 o'clock, and the Kraken have called a news conference tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Todd Lywicki, Ron Francis, and co-owner Samantha Holloway. Ask me what's going on
what's
tomorrow.
Going on?
I got no idea. And if I did, I couldn't tell you
anything.
You're
supposed to know these things.
I don't know nothing.
Top transfer, Caleb Love. You see that? He's coming to the Pac-12. Caleb Love going to the University of Arizona. He led UNC to the Final Four in 2022.
How about the Husky softball team? Boom, back in the College World Series. Game 1 versus Utah on Thursday from OKC at 6:30 our time.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio.
Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, we're back. Kinda. Softy and Dick and Jessamine. No Jackson. Jackson's off.
Those are because, S's, not Z's.
I'm sorry. What'd I say? Jessamine?
Yes.
God, unbelievable. You know what? I'm going to call you Jessamine the rest of the show just to irritate the hell out of you.
You know what? I've been called a lot worse in my life.
That sounds too much like Jezebel when Jessamine. You say Jessamine.
Jessamine.
There's a lot of things that start with Jez that I don't want to be called.
Jessamine McIntyre is here filling in for Jackson Feltz, who apparently 3-day weekend for him wasn't enough. He needed a 4-day weekend. So he's off today. Back on the air tomorrow. We're at the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook hanging out until 7 o'clock tonight. John Wilner is going to join us at 4 o'clock today. Lots of stuff to talk to John about, by the way, with this news that came out. Was it last week when I was gone that Mike Bone, the USC AD, apparently was not behaving himself? Is that what I'm hearing behind the scenes in L.A.? He's a dirty bird? Is that what I was told?
A dirty bird.
I guess he was a dirty bird at Cincinnati, too.
Yeah.
And USC had no idea.
Yeah, they didn't vet the process very well there
at
USC.
Well, this is two ADs now, Pat Hayden and Mike Bone, who have turned out to be putzes. And they had to fire both of those people. Who's running the ship down there?
Obviously no one.
We're going to talk to Petros about it. I cannot. Right. You know what? Petros tomorrow is going to be like a pig in poop.
Oh, he'll love it.
Talking about this. Because despite the fact that he went to USC, he loves any opportunity that comes up to trash his alma mater. I think it all goes back to him being scorned by them. Remember the whole famous, he's too ugly for the wall?
For the wall, he's not on the Hall of Fame wall,
right?
They got
a big Hall of Fame wall with all their noted alumni in the press box, media people, things like that, and he's not on it, by the way, and that pissed him off.
Because he's too ugly to be on that wall,
too damn
right?
ugly. So any freaking time that Petros Papadakis has an opportunity to trash USC, he's going to do it. So you want to hear the unfiltered truth about what's happening down there at USC, I would tune in tomorrow at 4 o'clock on the radio
he's
show.
Too ugly to be on that wall.
Yeah, thank you very much. So we'll talk to John about that 4 o'clock today. There's rumors, lots of rumors about Pat Chun, the AD at Wazoo, Jen Cohen, the AD at UW, maybe being mentioned for the vacant position down there in Los Angeles. So I'm kind of curious. I mean, you brought this up off the air, Dick. I'm kind of curious what the Husky fan reaction would be if Jen Cohen took off and went to L.A. and replaced Mike Bone as the new AD at USC. What do you think they'd say?
I think you and I have always been more appreciative of what Jen Cohen does at the UW than the general Husky fan.
Well, I'm a huge fan.
So
you know that.
I think, you know, I think that the general Husky fan would be pretty meh because I don't think they give her a lot of credit for what she's done there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Jimmy Lake thing, and I think Petros, speaking of him, hit the nail on the head, by the way, when he brought this up earlier this year when he said it was the right idea to hire Jimmy Lake and it was the right idea to fire Jimmy Lake. Both those decisions were the right one. And I don't remember when the Huskies hired Jimmy Lake. And this really doesn't mean much because in the end it's all about what kind of job a guy does. But I think everybody kind of understood the Jimmy Lake hire. Said this makes sense, right? He's one of the hottest defensive coordinators in the country. He's one of the best DBs coaches in America. He's young. He's energetic. He's personable. He's been here with Chris Peterson. Yep. He'll continue what Pete's doing. It absolutely made sense, I think. Didn't you?
Nobody questioned it.
Right, nobody did.
Nobody questioned the hiring of Jimmy Lake.
And the fact that it apparently, I guess, had Chris Peterson's stamp on it, it made absolute total sense, but nothing's a guarantee.
Right.
And the thing went down in a ball of flames, obviously. We all know the way the whole thing ended. So to be able to recover from that and hire Kalen DeBoer and have the guy go 11-2 in year number one, be a top 10 preseason team this year when the polls come out in a few months from now, I think she can walk away from UW tonight, and I think her legacy is secure. The softball team's kicking ass. Obviously, other sports are doing well.
She made the right baseball hire, obviously.
Made the right baseball hire.
Year one, he's in the tournament.
That's right. The only issue is the basketball team, right? And the Hopkins thing, the first couple years, looked like it was going to be gold when he won Coach of the Year twice, by the way. Yep. And then the whole thing freaking fell apart. So, I don't know. I mean, look, I can understand why somebody would look at Jen Cohen and say, hey, the Jimmy thing didn't work out. The Mike Hopkins thing hasn't worked out. I don't look at it that way because I think that both those hires made sense and both those hires at first looked like they were going to work when they went through the COVID year and they were kind of doing some good things on defense. We thought things were going to go well there. Obviously, the basketball thing has been a freaking nightmare. Nobody's going to argue with that. But the football thing is 99% of the pie, and she's got that thing rolling apparently right now.
I think if we're going to nitpick, let's just nitpick for a second because I agree with everything you just said.
Yes, nitpick,
but,
please.
But if I'm going to be a nitpicker.
I've missed the nitpickery.
I haven't had
nitpickery for 10 days.
To give Mike Hopkins an extension prior to him showing any success with his own recruits was dangerous.
Then you would have lost him because UCLA was called.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yep, that's
so,
right.
So I guess.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
And look, this is the kind of, you're playing that scales of justice thing
going
on, right?
Exactly.
There's no right call. There's no easy call. There's always risk that comes along with it. But what's the reaction if Mike Hopkins doesn't get the extension after winning Coach of the Year 2 years in a row, UCLA hires him instead of Mick Cronin. He goes down there because now he has access to the UCLA machine and he starts killing it and he's winning. Are people busting her chops
because
she wouldn't extend him?
If that happens, yes. Right. But just watch Mick Cronin coach a basketball game versus Mike Hopkins.
Of course.
Coaching a basketball
game. Right, exactly.
So we don't know if Mike Hopkins, even with the machine, would have gone down there and succeeded at least to the level that UCLA expects to succeed. He might have had success.
Right.
But he wouldn't have had Mick Cronin's success.
Now, who knows?
I don't think.
I would bet that you'd be right, you know, but there's always these alternate universes that people go down. So we'll talk to John about that at 4 o'clock, about Jen and about Pat Chun. Is there any possibility of one of them becoming the next the AD at USC? And then Jeff Nelson will join us, former Mariner who's in town, calling games on the YES Network for the Yankees this week with Michael Kay. He'll be with us at 5 o'clock talking some baseball. And look, I mean, I remember we were sitting there at Climate Pledge Arena. It was on May the 9th, okay? And we were talking about Julio Rodriguez, and we both kind of went over some of the numbers. I put them on Twitter. It's back on the Twitter account if you want to check it out, by the way, that Julio Rodriguez last year in his first 33 games had a 625 OPS with 43 strikeouts in 33 games. After 33 games this year, a 677 OPS with 42 Ks. So the numbers in a lot of ways were very similar to what he was doing a year ago.
He had more home runs a year ago,
Right. He had five more home runs in 33 games, but his OPS and his strikeouts were right about the same as where they were a year ago. He was struggling. There's no doubt, right? You can dice it any way you want, but he was struggling. And then that time last year, starting with game 34, he caught fire and hit 325 with a 372 on base percentage, a 935 OPS in games 34 through 53. In the last 19 games, by the way, Julio Rodriguez is hitting 312 with a 369 on base percentage, a 915 OPS, four home runs, and 16 RBIs. His numbers in the last 19 are very similar to what he did exactly
in May
this
of last
time span
May
of last season. Right. He's doing it again. The exact same thing. He came out of the gate slow, and then he turned it on. He came out of the gate slow, and then he turned it on again this year. I mean, the first 33 and the next 20 are very, very similar to what he did a year ago.
Well, watching Julio in the early stages of this year was watching Jared Kelenic all year last year.
Right.
Just wait, trying to hit a home run every single swing, no matter where the ball is pitched. Just having no semblance for plate discipline. I'm just so anxious at the plate. I've got to do something. The pressure is on me, so I'm just going to swing at everything.
Yeah.
That's what Jared did all last year. That's what Julio did the first 6 weeks of the season. And now Kelenic, the whole season, has been more disciplined. Julio, for the last 3 weeks, has been very, very disciplined. And even, I mean, his numbers could be even higher. I went to this game on Saturday and the game yesterday.
Yep.
Two separate plate appearances where he absolutely ripped the baseball for outs. And those were two of his few outs that he committed this weekend. Yeah. He was unbelievable.
Well, listen, things are starting to change for the better in some regard, and they're starting to stay the same in other regards. I mean, the Colton Wong experiment just kind of seems like it's going nowhere.
Well, he's not playing.
I mean, the
so
guy's
easy.
He's played in four games since I've been gone. He's got no hits.
We can forget about him. It's wonderful.
Jose, well, I don't know if we can forget about him yet because I'm not sure if they've really solved the second base conundrum. I realize that Jose Caballero is an upgrade over what Colton Wong's been giving you. But anything is an upgrade over a corpse, okay? I mean, the difference between Colton Wong and Jose Caballero is Jose Caballero has a beating heart, and Colton Wong does not. I know his on-base percentage has been good in the last maybe, couple weeks or so, month of May. But he's not a guy I think that you can really rely on to be a great hitter for your lineup or really, I think, normalize that second base spot. And that might be their hole, Dick, right? They might go out and get a DH, get someone to fill that DH spot. Maybe they, kind of rotate guys in like Teoscar Hernandez. I have no idea at the DH position. But they can solve the DH spot, and they still might have a hole at second base. So if Jose Caballero ends up being the hole in this lineup, and you can go out and solve your DH problem either in-house or out of house, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah, and I mean, he's not. We asked both Brett and Steven Souza last week. Yeah.
Who's Brett?
That would be the Caboon.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, Caboon.
You mean the guy whose brother manages the Yankees?
That guy. we asked them both, is Jose Caballero your answer at second base now and into the future?
Yeah.
And they both said the same thing. Now, yes.
Right.
Into the future, probably not.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, if he gives you the exact OPS for the rest of the season that he's given you so far, 762, sign up.
Right.
Sign up, move along. It's not a hole.
Yeah, I think it's good for now because of the upgrade, because it is an upgrade over Colton Wong. But it's the same conversation that you and I have had about Taylor Trammell and it's Dylan Moore, right? Not Morris.
Not Morris.
Morris plays
not
for the Huskies.
Morris, that's right.
I hate that. Can one guy change his name to Steve or Bob or something for God's sakes and make it easy on me? It's like the argument that you and I have about the DH versus Taylor Trammell and Dylan Moore. I mean, Taylor Trammell is just a guy. Dylan Moore, for me, is just a guy. You know, are they nice complementary pieces? Are they nice utility guys? I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Because every team has to have players like that. Are they starting 140-game caliber DHs on a team that's supposed to challenge for a World Series title? In my opinion, absolutely not. But they're upgrades because of what you had in their place before, which is nothing. DOA, dead on arrival. Hell, they could hire you to be their DH and be an improvement. They could hire Thomas over here at the Emerald Queen to be their second baseman and be an improvement. So what I'm looking for is to get better. And I think that they've gotten better with Jose Caballero. But I also agree with Stephen and Mooney that I think at some point they're going to have to address that, maybe over the offseason.
I think so. And you know, it was great. We had Hollander on last week. And
yeah, I heard he was good.
Yeah, he was.
I heard the guy asking the questions was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Is that true?
The other guy.
Okay.
Yeah, not me. We had Hugh asking the good questions. I asked the crappy questions.
Oh, God.
But
break.
No, Justin Hollander, he was very honest, open, just was every bit as disappointed with the offense as the fan base was.
Right.
Totally understand where the fan base is coming from. And he says, this is going to be addressed. This
good.
Is not. I mean, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The offense is going to be addressed.
I love it.
And which is nice to hear, but it's also nice to see the offense starting to warm up at almost every single position as well.
Absolutely, and I love that. You know, I think that's great. And I think that's what general managers should say, that we're not going to just sit here on our hands and do nothing and rest on our laurels and hope that guys can turn it around. Look, we're one-third in already here, right?
Exactly. Exactly one-third
in. 2 months into the season.
54 games.
I mean, dude, the freaking All-Star game is going to be here in 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, it's ridiculous how fast this thing is moving, so you cannot wait around. You're 6.5 games out of the division already. Texas doesn't appear to be cooling off. They're playing their balls off right now. Have you seen their run differential, by the way, the Texas Rangers run differential? It's ridiculous, dude. It's plus 128 already after two games. Next best in the AL West is Houston, and they're 77 behind. It is bananas how good that team is. So I'm not going to say the division is slipping away. And I'm not really concerned about it, to be honest with you.
I don't care if they win the division.
Just like
just
I'm not concerned
playoffs.
About seeding in the NBA,
yep.
All right? Whatever. Forget about it. Just get your ass in the tournament. So
it's not like football where you better win the division
if
you want a great chance to make the Super Bowl. That's not the case in baseball.
But here's the teams that you're going to be competing with down the stretch. Let's just say for shiggles and gits, the Texas Rangers win the American League West and the Tampa Rays win the American League East, okay?
Okay.
You're going to be competing with Baltimore, who's not going away. We thought they were kind of a mirage a year ago, right, when they were in the race.
But their run differential's worse than yours, despite the fact they're five games better than you.
They're also 14 games over 500,
right.
So they got a big-ass cushion. The Yankees, the Astros, the Red Sox, the Angels, Toronto. That's who you're competing with, man. That is a stacked group of wild card contenders. So you want to be in that mix and emerge from that mix as one of the three wild card teams. You got to play better baseball than what you're playing right now. What they're doing right now is not going to work in August and September against teams like the Yankees and the Astros and the Red Sox and maybe even the Angels. I mean, hell, you were the one that said all offseason long the Angels were going to be better this year than people thought. Wasn't it Jeff Passan or somebody out there said they're the dark horse that nobody's talking about right now? And all of a sudden they're playing good baseball. So it's going to be fun as hell. September is going to be fun as hell because I believe the Mariners, and I think you agree, will be in the mix. With their pitching, they'll be in the mix. The question is, how much better can they get with the guys they have now, and how much better do they have to get if they want to be one of those three from that group of teams you talked about?
Well, they just got to win series, and that's what they've been doing since the beginning of May. I mean, they swept a series, then they won a series against Houston. Two series later, they beat Detroit 2 out of 3. Two series later, they beat it. Or they checked out. They swept Oakland, and then they beat Pittsburgh. So that's like five winning series in the month.
Right.
That just needs to continue. We don't need the sweeps because the sweeps are really only going to come against Oakland, let's face it,
right?
And you're not facing Oakland for a long period of time. Just give me 2 of 3 on seven times over the course of a month, can you get me two of three? And that's just going to slowly creep you towards 10 over and then slowly creep you towards 15 to 20 over, and that's where you're going to need to be by the end of the season.
How many games I got to win to make the playoffs, in your opinion? Give me a number. Just the first number that pops in your head.
92.
92? Okay. Yeah, that means 92. You have to win basically six of every 10 games. That's 96 wins right there. 5.5, 5.75, 5.75, whatever it is.
And it's never had to be that high before.
No,
so it's probably erred on the high side.
Sure.
Because in the three wild card era, it's about 88 on average, 87, 88. So 92 is probably pushing it a little bit.
It looks to me, though, Dick, with these teams that are going to be in the wild card race, if Tampa wins the East and if the Rangers win the West, the Astros and the Yankees are fully capable of winning 96 games apiece.
Yes.
Both of them are.
That's right.
So I think that number might be a little bit higher. I think Boston's going to make a move. The Angels are going to make a move. Toronto always makes a move at the deadline. So I think the trade deadline, for the first time in a long time, and it was interesting a year ago, but it's going to be super interesting this year with all these teams in the wild card hunt. And the problem is nobody's going to make a move because everyone thinks they're in the race. I mean, hell, even the Tigers are 5.5 games out of a wild card spot right now with 4 months left to go in the regular season. So are there going to be 8-9 teams thinking they can make a move, thinking they can be better, thinking they can make the playoffs? And will that delay the Mariners being able to improve? I would love for them to go out right now and get someone to help that DH spot. I would love for them to go out right now and get another bat for this lineup. I just don't know if they can do it because what's the market like right now?
Right. I asked Hollander that question. I said, when does it really start to heat up? He said, about 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
So that was last week. So
mid-June or so.
So we're talking about end of the first week of June. That's kind of when the conversations start. And then you got to figure 2 to 3 weeks of conversations before you actually pull a trigger. So you're looking for, you're looking basically the first day of summer. You know, 21st, 22nd of June is when you could see that first deal being made.
Well, and they're getting carried by the guy. I mean, Julio's the man, right? And for a generation of kids that are 7, 8, 9 years old, he's their Griffey. He's their Griffey.
Yep.
I was thinking about that today. Is Julio Rodriguez have a shot? And this is crazy talk because he's only in year two. Does he have a shot to be bigger than Junior was in this town? And I'll tell you maybe some reasons why that could happen that have nothing to do with baseball, by the way. We're at the Emerald Queen Casino. A little fun with audio at 3:45. We'll get to that coming up next on 93.3 KJR-FM.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You can stream us at 93.3KJR.com on the free iHeartRadio app or the old-fashioned way on your radio as Seattle's only FM sports station in crystal clear stereo. Now back to Softy and Dick on Sports Radio 93.3KJR-FM.
All right, we're back at the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook. Softy, Dick, Jessamyn McIntyre.
Hey, now.
For Jackson Feltz. Maybe I'll start calling Jackson Jackson.
Jackson.
Jackson Feltz. Be back tomorrow. I think he's on the Oregon coast, by the way, buying some saltwater taffy. Great saltwater taffy down there.
There is. I've had it at Seaside before.
Very good.
Fantastic.
Very good. Hey, are we doing Pick Your Putts today on the radio program?
Sure.
Are we doing that here from the...
This is Thomas, security officer for Emerald Queen Casino. It's time for Pick Your Putts.
Pick Your Putts at 5:45. You know, my mom heard about that and said, what's this Pick Your Putts thing, David? She thought it was a gross thing that we're doing on the air.
Why would she ever think
your putts,
her son, Dave Softy Mahler, would say anything gross on the air? Because that's never happened.
Is there a little innuendo there with the whole pick your putts thing? No, there's not? My mom thinks there is, which
anything
makes you wonder.
Anything that comes out of your mouth is typically subject to being innuendo.
It makes you wonder what the hell she's doing, by the way, at the place she lives at, man. She's behind closed doors 23 hours a day. What's happening behind there, Mom?
Stop it.
My God, unbelievable. All right, so I asked you going into the break, is it possible that Julio Rodriguez ends up being bigger in this town than Ken Griffey Jr.? And I realize how ridiculous that sounds, right? Like, one guy is one of the top 10 players potentially in the history of baseball. First ballot Hall of Famer, who when he got elected had the most votes ever until a freaking closer came around and beat him, which is still a joke and still irritates the hell out of me now, 10 years later, whatever it's been. And the other guy's in year two of his baseball career. Right. Right? And has played like 150 games, for God's sakes. Why in the world would some dipstick go on the air and even remotely talk about whether or not Griffey and Julio will be in the same category or maybe even Julio bigger when it's all said and done? The only thing I would point to, number one, well, there's two things, actually. Julio, supremely talented. No question about that. Right? You saw him play twice this weekend. You go to watch Julio Rodriguez play in person, and you can feel
you can feel
you
it.
Can tell
yes.
that this guy knows yes. what he's doing. He's a five-tool guy. He might even be a six-tool guy if you include the smarts between his ears, by the way. But he's got it going on. And they just locked him up to a decade-long deal. The guy's going nowhere for a long damn time. That's number one. Number two, I just think that news travels faster. Superstardom is created quicker in 2023 than even when it in the early 90s. And I realized that Griffey had the Nike campaign behind him. He had the billboard downtown Seattle. He had the charisma, the backwards hat.
The shoes.
The shoes. Yeah. He had the Nike election campaign, all that stuff. The TV show, the
Swing
candy
man.
Bar, the song. We can be here all day, right?
Yes.
All kinds of cool stuff. But I think news travels faster. And again, stardom is created a lot quicker now because of social media. And I think there's a buzz that people can artificially implement on social media now that makes things appear even bigger than they are,
yeah.
right? It's like the whole sign on your rearview mirror, right? Objects behind you may be closer than they appear. Julio Rodriguez may even be a bigger star than we think because of Twitter and because of Facebook and Instagram pumping this guy up and making him out to be a god and a deity, for crying out loud. So I just wonder, Dick, if you went back in time and Ken Griffey Jr. could take advantage of the social media campaigns that Julio Rodriguez takes advantage of, how big would he have been? And he was huge. He was a god 30 years ago. But imagine him in that scenario where every single night the guy's highlights are getting beamed right to your phone, okay? People are making memes and GIFs and songs and editing videos about you every single freaking night. For as big as he was, he could have been even bigger
if
he would have had the marketing, the free marketing platform that is social media that Julio Rodriguez has right now. So, look, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I think in the end, baseball history and historians will probably say that Griffey was the better player because that's a ridiculously high bar to even think, and it's almost unfair to even ask Julio to be at that level. But I just wonder if Julio Rodriguez is coming into a situation now in Seattle where we haven't had a real baseball superstar like Griffey, let's face it, since Griffey. No offense to Ichiro, but he didn't resonate, I don't think, with the town the way Griffey did. He's a young guy. He's a good-looking cat. He's got, you know, great-looking eyes, funny, smart, personable, charismatic, plays his ass off, does everything everybody wants him to do, endorsements up the yin-yang. I saw where they're doing a section now where if Julio goes long, that entire section gets a free pair of plane tickets. Is that right?
I haven't seen
you
that.
You didn't see that?
No, I didn't see
Alaska
that.
Airlines, apparently, and somebody can text me if this is wrong. I thought I saw this when I was
you may have.
It may have been a couple too many Mai Tais, by the way, that anytime Julio hits a home run, the section the ball lands in, everyone gets a free pair of round-trip tickets anywhere Alaska Airlines flies. You go to freaking Hawaii. So every seat in left field should be packed for every game that Julio Rodriguez plays. So just things like that, right? There's like a there's almost like this mystifying thing going on, if you will, about Julio Rodriguez. Almost like a legendary thing happening already about Julio Rodriguez. So I just see a town that is desperate for a star baseball-wise, and I see people ready to just follow this guy wherever he goes.
The only thing, only one thing's going to make him bigger than Griffey, though. He's got to win a World Series.
Yeah.
He's got to have a Griffey career.
What if he makes the World Series?
Well, then he has to have a pretty damn close to Griffey career. He can't have a significantly shorter than Griffey career and then make the – I mean, if he wins the World Series, and if, especially if he has some sort of iconic moment or moment
walk-off homer
in winning the World Series and has a career that approaches Griffey in numerical greatness
– right.
I think that's the only way he could eclipse Griffey. But, yeah, he could be there because of everything that you mentioned. He's got all the charisma that Griffey had. I'm not going to say and more because Griffey's charisma was just oozing. But he's got Griffey-level charisma, the first Mariner, and maybe the first baseball player, period, that's had Griffey charisma since Griffey.
Well, he's only 22 years old. He'll be 23 in December, right? So he's got this entire year at the age of 22 to play. And I think you're right. I think if you can look back and say Julio Rodriguez put this team on his back and took them and led them out of the hellhole that's been the last 20 years or so and brought them to a World Series. He brought them to Valhalla for baseball. If he can do that, I don't even care what his numbers are. If they're close to Ken Griffey Jr.'s numbers, like let's say he hits 570 home runs and not the 660, whatever it is for Jr. Let's say he's a 260 hitter and not a 280 hitter, whatever. Okay, let's say maybe he wins one MVP. Maybe the All-Stars aren't there. I don't know. I don't know if he necessarily has to have the exact same numbers as Ken Griffey Jr. Because, again, Dick, I'm not talking about how he would be remembered by baseball. I'm talking about how he'd be remembered by this town. Is there a chance that Julio Rodriguez can, in the end, become a bigger star in Seattle than Ken Griffey Jr.
In Seattle, potentially, because you're talking about a different generation of people.
Right.
Right? So, so anybody that's 35 or younger doesn't remember Ken Griffey
Jr. That's right. That's right.
So already you're dealing with half your population over the next 10 or 15 years that doesn't even remember Griffey playing. So because of that, I think, yes, in Seattle, he possibly could, particularly if he leads the Mariners to greater heights as a team than Griffey led the Mariners to, which was only American League Championship Series. That's it.
Yeah, 630, not 660. That's my fault. But, yeah, you're right, because his last year when Seattle was in 2010, and really his last year as the Griffey that we knew was in 1999. For God's sakes, that's 24 years ago.
You got to be minimum 30.
Yes.
Minimum before if you remember any of the real Ken Griffey Jr. in Seattle.
We'll get some thoughts on that. 49451, your take on the text line as well for testimonials at 445. John Wilner is going to join us at 4. Jen Cohen, Pat Chun, UW, Wazoo, ADs. Any chance they become the next AD at USC? We'll talk to John about that at 4 o'clock. A little fun with audio. / Hey, did you hear that? Coming up next on Softy and Dick on 93.3 KJRFM.
It's now time for Softy and Dick's Fun with Audio.
Jimmy G, porn star Jimmy, Mr. Garoppolo.
Now, let's have some fun with audio.
All right, boys and girls, here we go.
What's that, Dick?
Live from the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook, hanging out until 7 o'clock tonight. Rick Riz coming up 6 p.m. tonight. You know, Rick Riz, Dick, went public with his prostate cancer diagnosis about a week ago or so. So we want to get him on the air at 6 o'clock tonight and find out, how's he doing? What's the battle look like for him? And maybe inspire others to get some help and get some pre-screening out there for people. So Rick Riz coming up 6 p.m. tonight on the radio show. All right, it's been a while. Did you do this with Dewey, by the way,
yes,
when I was gone? And
yes,
what was his attitude like during that conversation?
No, it was good. I think he likes it. I think he prefers to have it a short one every day versus one long one on a Friday.
I got you. All right. Well, you know what? Whatever makes him happy is what we're all about here on the radio show. So thanks to him for filling in last week, by the way. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Stephen A. Smith on Get Up on ESPN. They were discussing the idea of Kyrie Irving and LeBron James reuniting in Los Angeles with the Lakers. And Stephen A. went on a classic Stephen A. rant about Kyrie Irving and his abilities.
Respectfully to Kyrie Irving,
who
doesn't want us talking about him, don't play basketball. We talk about basketball. Nobody's talking about his personal life. Nobody's talking about the tweets from months ago. Nobody's talking about all the things that he's gotten himself involved with headline-wise or whatever. Kyrie Irving is a good dude that's smarter than people give him credit for and all of that other stuff. But I do think it's utterly ridiculous for him to be telling people, don't listen to them. Well, why wouldn't they listen to us? We're just talking basketball. We're prognosticating about where you could potentially go.
Yeah.
Nobody says they know or anything like that. And if you don't want us to talk about you as a basketball player, quit. Because we're going to talk about you.
So you know what this was spawned by, right? He came out like a week ago and said, hey, stop talking about me and where I'm going to end up. It's the conference finals. Talk about that.
Right.
Are you kidding me? So, look, I mean, it's just another example of how out of touch this guy is. Or is he completely in touch and knows the more outlandish stuff he does, the more he's going to stay in the news cycle?
But he doesn't seem like a guy that really wants to be talked about. LeBron seems like a guy that wants to be talked about.
You think?
Kyrie Irving does not seem like a guy that wants to be talked about. He just keeps doing things that get him in the news.
Yeah. Well, he's a putz. He's a total putz.
I agree with Stephen A. Smith. He's smart. Yeah. He's just nuts.
Right. Well,
you can be both.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, some of the biggest psychopaths in the world are geniuses.
Very smart.
Right. No question about it. I'm not saying he's a psychopath at all, but you know that. It's some of the biggest, you know, most evil people ever to walk the face of the earth are geniuses, man. We all get that, but I just think, you know, it's like, you know, all his takes on all these stupid things and the end of the earth and dinosaurs and the Holocaust and blah, blah, blah. He's just a guy who most of what comes out of his mouth, Dick, if not 99.99% of it, goes in one ear
and
out the freaking other.
That's right.
Every
people take it very, very seriously because he's Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. All right, Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Hey, Jessamine, let's shoot ahead if we can to number five, if that's possible.
That sounds like something you like to do.
Yeah, I want to make sure and sneak this in here. Sean Estes. Remember Sean Estes, the former Mariner? Dave Fleming, the former voice of the Stanford football team. Both of them are now covering the Giants on NBC Sports in the Bay Area. And the Giants were playing the Brewers on Sunday, and both of them had a pretty funny reaction to an absolute complete botch of a stat by Sean Estes on the TV broadcast.
And there's a reason why the Brewers this year are 45-1 when they're leading after seven innings. That back into the bullpen has been really good for them.
That pitch is outside. What did you say the record was?
45-1.
But not this year. They haven't won 45 games yet.
Yeah, well, it's probably not 45 then.
It's not that I'm doubting your numbers, but when I heard that, I was like, huh.
I'll tell you what they are.
They're 27-25, but they're 45-1.
They're that good after the seventh that they have actually won more games than they've played.
They've won 28 games.
And they're 45-1.
I mean, look, I've done that. You've done that. All of us at some point have done that. Where
of
we just
course.
Completely botch a stat or botch a read.
We're
not even what they actually are.
Producer
not even
wrote it down
close
wrong.
To what we're talking about. I mean, it's unfreaking believable, man. So, hey, good for him because it even happens to the best of us.
Of course. I mean, and I can only think that maybe they're 45-1 in their last 46.
Potentially, yeah.
When leading, but I have to. I'm just totally curious now. I want to find out what they are after seven.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, let's get ahead to number. Let's go just to number four. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Michael Porter Jr. talked about. He's now with the Nuggets,
they're
right?
They're 21-1.
There
by
you
the
go.
Way.
Okay, so he's 24 up. Michael Porter Jr. is now in the NBA Finals with the Denver Nuggets. He talked about moving to Seattle from Missouri and playing 1 year for Brandon Roy at Nathan Hale High School.
Seattle definitely had a big impact. I feel like, you know, growing up in Missouri and then moving out to Seattle and being around all those pros and getting coached by Brandon Roy, that was when I really took my game to the next level. And he helped me just get better every day and eventually become the best player in the country, on the best team in the country. So that was his first year coaching, which is kind of crazy, but I think he's won like four state championships since I left Seattle. And that's just a good friend of mine to this day. He loves basketball. He's just a really good dude. So Seattle definitely has a big piece of my heart, and that was definitely a dope time in my life.
So two things. I like it whenever anybody on that scale mentions Seattle,
right
in the 206 and kind of reps us. So good on Michael Porter Jr. The only reason why I wanted to play that clip, though, is because I saw a tweet from you last week when I was 10 Mai Tais deep and maybe a couple of coladas as well. And you wrote something about a Seattle high school product.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I said to myself, God, I don't consider him to be that at all.
And it's a factual statement. I mean, you can choose to feel like he is truly a Seattle high school player. Well,
I think we can argue factual.
Well, he played high school basketball in Seattle.
What if a guy played here for one game? Does that make him a product?
Well, he played him for a season in
one
Seattle.
One season.
And won a state championship.
I don't consider Michael Porter Jr. to be a Seattle product at all. I consider Brandon Roy, Nate Robinson, Doug Christie, Spencer Hawes, guys that grew up here, that went through the high school system.
I understand that.
To me, when you say product, I don't know. Maybe that word for me just lands differently, and maybe
I don't even know what I said exactly. I'll have to read.
I think
the
you said
tweet.
Product, but my point is, do people really look at Michael Porter Jr. with the Nuggets, like Paolo Banchero, for example? If he ever makes the NBA Finals, oh, my God. I remember that guy's a freshman in high school. Whatever. He's born here, raised here. He's a 206 guy. Do people listening right now look at Michael Porter Jr. when he starts in the NBA Finals? Because he's starting for the Nuggets, right?
Yes.
Game one, he'll start.
Yes.
Will you look at him and go, that's our guy. That's a Seattle guy right there.
No.
Yeah.
But I don't think that. I don't think that makes my tweet inaccurate.
What was your tweet? Read it
again. My tweet was, help me out here. When has a Seattle high school product ever been a catalyst for a team headed to the NBA Finals? And there was one prior to him, and that would have been Jason Terry, 2006 and 2011.
Right.
He's really the second ever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't hold him in that esteem like I hold Brandon Roy and Nate Robinson. Right. But he's still a high school product from Seattle. He won a state championship at Nathan Hale High School. I was there. I called the game. I know what happened.
Well, and I
and he played the whole season.
I wasn't even there, and I know what happened. Okay,
so,
and I'll take your word for it. Wait, Dick's lying. Michael Porter Jr. never won a championship in Seattle. I guess,
and it was the best team I've ever seen in high school basketball in the state of Washington. The most talented team I have ever seen with my eyes in the state of Washington.
And
was that one.
Not put together organically at all.
At all.
There was nothing organic about that team.
But
nothing.
Maybe they were just ahead of their time, because what
could
team is organically put together these days?
Right. Again, when you say product, I just think of a Seattle product is a guy
that grows up here.
Who grew up in Seattle.
I get it.
And Michael Porter Jr. was here for like 45 seconds.
So maybe I should have said player instead of product.
I don't know. I mean, and again, I'm not you say it whatever. I'm just busting your balls.
That's
you say it whatever you want. I'm more wondering, like I asked you, do people look at him and think of Michael Porter Jr. as a Seattle guy?
Oh, I bet only 10%.
Because I don't.
I only
I don't
10%. And I don't really either.
I don't at all.
But I do respect his talent. I do respect that team. It was unbelievable. And it's kind of cool. Like, if I had the choice of watching Michael Porter playing 1 year at Seattle, playing in the NBA Finals, or a guy that never had any semblance of history here, because of a cut like that, it's kind of cool.
You're right. That is cool. And I don't have any ill will towards the guy at all. I mean, I think he's a phenomenal player. I would have loved to have seen him gone to UW.
Absolutely.
Right? And maybe if he would have gone to UW and spent a couple years there, maybe I'd feel differently about him right now. But I don't have any real connection to him whatsoever.
I agree.
At all. And you know what? I wish I did.
Yeah.
Because it'd be fun as hell to watch this finals.
I'm not rooting for him in the finals. I'm rooting for the Heat.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about why at 4:28, by the way. I think this is a boring NBA finals. I think if you're a TV executive, you're screaming out your freaking lungs, man. You've gone from Boston versus LA to Miami versus Denver.
That's right.
Are you kidding me?
That's right.
We got a break. Headlines coming up. John Wilner, is Jen Cohen in the mix for the USC AD job? Huh? We'll find out next on Softy and Dick on 93.3 KJR FM.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.